Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into another episode of Pick and Pod for WFUV Sports. I'm Chaz McAdams, here with my guy, my roommate Owen, and Pick and Pod debut, Naomi. Naomi, how do you feel?
I feel great. I'm glad to be here.
Great. You know what I mean? Great vibes, Owen. How are you?
The Knicks are the best team in the NBA. No one's going to beat them. I think they've won four straight now, and they're going to the NBA Cup next week. I love the Knicks. You know, just Cat's so good, except for the minutes. The minutes aren't great. Last night was a little scary.
What do you mean the minutes aren't great?
Mikal Bridges played 46 minutes in a blowout win versus the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
That's not what you want. As Joe Girardi would say.
It's a tight rotation, so we'll get into that a little bit, what's going on around the NBA. We are a New York sports station, so we are obligated to talk about New York's team. Go New York, go New York, go. The New York Knicks getting a great win last night on December 5th, Thursday night, 125-101 versus the Charlotte Hornets in the world's most famous arena. And I want to talk a little bit about Mikal Bridges because there was a little bit of worry at the beginning of the season. You know, there are a lot of narratives going on around the media, what's going on with him. But I think he's definitely stepped up to the plate. Owen, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, his home and road splits are really strange. And you look at a lot of people are making the Tyrese Halliburton jokes that he needs to bring his bed on the road. But at home, I think he's averaging 20 points. And on the road, it's like 12, which is not the drop-off you want to see from Mikal Bridges. But his home games have looked a lot better. I know last night he played 46 minutes, which he's the Iron Man. I think he's played now upwards of 400 games in a row or whatever it is. But 46 minutes, eventually something's got to give, and it's probably going to be his knees towards the end of the season. But I saw someone say that they think that maybe Tibbs is kind of playing him all these minutes against bad teams to get his confidence back. At the end of that road trip, it kind of seemed like confidence gone. Mikal Bridges was getting a lot of hate from fans. Josh Hart was defending him. He's come out on this little homestand that they've had, and he's looked really good. The minutes is obviously a concern, but once the rotation gets healthy, they should go down. But you have to like what you see from Mikal Bridges. The defense has been better from him, and you've seen that in their defensive ratings. I think 5 games ago they were 26th in the league, and now they're down to 19th in the league. So he's obviously contributing because you know you're not getting anything from Brunson. So not the defensive leader on the team, but once Bridges starts.
Or Cat.
No. Nothing at the rim from Cat.
Yeah.
Just you need to see more, I think, from Bridges in general on defense, but you have to like what you've been seeing against these bad teams.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been that all-league defender that a lot of people were saying his ceiling is, but I think OG's definitely been there to pick up the slack. OG is probably a top-five defender in the NBA right
now. Oh, 100%.
Definitely. Naomi, what do you think? Because I'm interested in a Tom Thibodeau team that is first in offense and 18th in defense in the NBA. That's not something you normally see from a Thibodeau-led team, so how do you think the Knicks can kind of get – I guess they're winning games, so it doesn't really matter. Number one in net rating, or at least top five right now in the NBA. But do you think the Knicks' defensive blunders are going to eventually catch up to them and they're going to start losing games versus better teams?
I mean, yeah, as we see, they are number one in net rating over the past 10 games. But in defensive playing, I think definitely in the playoffs we'll see a big difference in their playing. Once these other teams step it up, they're not going to be able to hold their will as much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I mean, a Thibodeau team that isn't defined by its defense is a very interesting and new thing.
That's not a Thibodeau team.
Exactly. So
every year, the Knicks, since Tibbs got here, they've been top 10 in defense.
Exactly. 18th now. You know what I mean? So, obviously, a lot of season to go. We're already a quarter of the way through the season, which is crazy. But there's a definite sense
they're figuring it out
at Madison Square Garden of, like, let's just go get buckets. I mean, you got a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, I would say a top five player in the NBA right now.
He's MVP.
He's been ridiculous. He's top five MVP candidate. Obviously, he's not Jason Tatum, so he's not the
MVP.
He's
a lot better than Jason Tatum.
There's no way you actually think
that. What's Jason Tatum averaging right now?
In points, like almost 30.
All right, Cat's averaging 25, 13, and 3 on 53% shooting. He's better than Tatum.
He's not better than Tatum. Tatum's a way better defender than Cat.
Yeah.
Better passer and rebounder.
No, better rebounder. You just made that one up.
I mean, if Josh Hart, pound for pound.
Cat and Tatum? Josh Hart's a better rebounder than both.
True. I was waiting for you to pull that card.
According to our GOAT producer right now, Kurt Sipple, Cat is leading the league in rebounds.
Sure.
So, Tatum's a better rebounder than him?
Womp womp.
We'll see when they play again. I was wishing it would be in the NBA Cup, but couldn't beat the Magic by 37 or more.
You had that lead, and then, you know what I mean, you squandered it because you're dodging competition. I get it from Tibbs.
Oh, yeah. Celtics are such tough competition.
They're the best team in the NBA.
Cavs a better record.
Who beat the Cavs?
Who beat the Celtics? The Cavs. They're 1-1 against each other this year. We've had this argument the other day, but the Knicks,
Without Porzingis.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter. Without their third best player,
it doesn't
matter.
We didn't have Precious Achiuwa. Our number one depth guy right now. Him and Campaign. Campaign's out right now, too.
Well, I think that the rotation's eventually going to turn into Brunson, Hart, OG, McHale, Cat, and then I think it's like a seven-man rotation in the playoffs.
No.
You have it's going to be Mitchell Robinson and Deuce, and that's...
No, Precious will 100% get playoff minutes.
Like significant playoff minutes?
Like 10. Just to get OG off the floor for like 5 to 10 minutes, or get Mikal off the floor to stagger them.
We'll see.
I think Campaign definitely gets playoff minutes too. I mean, all year he's going to be huge for them off the bench, because this bench right now is not
thin.
It's super thin. We talked about that at the beginning of the year. Every podcast, I feel like, so the Knicks' depth is... I thought it would be a lot higher. I mean, losing Precious Achiuwa and Tibbs' refusal to play younger players is definitely hurt.
Classic Tibbs.
Tyler Kolek, in a game where Campaign's not playing because of an injury, Tyler Kolek should be getting minutes. Pacome Dadier should get not consistent minutes, but like, you can't give him 10 minutes on the floor and give OG, instead of playing 39 minutes, OG plays 30 in a blowout. Like, a lot of things don't really make sense with the rotation, but they're winning. They've won 9 of their last 11, so I can't really complain, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Pacome Dadier is on a two-way contract right now. They sent him down. So.
Yeah, I know, but he's still like a young player that should get, like, he's a wing. We have no wing depth. That is him.
Pacome Dadier as a wing depth is a very scary prospect for a good team in the league.
He's a good defender.
Yeah, like so is like every athletic wing in the NBA. It's
so you can have him, exactly. You can have him come off the bench.
So
is
Drew,
nice
like Drew Peterson's a good defender for the Celtics.
You just made that name up.
Swear to God, he's been getting big minutes.
Not a real guy.
Number 13. Shout out the Maine Celtics. But I think that there is a definite sense in New York that you should be excited about getting these big wins versus bad teams. Because they've been playing so well.
Drew Peterson, not a real guy. Looked him up. Convicted murderer in Illinois.
Look up Drew Peterson Celtics and you'll...
Oh, so that's how you have to find him.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
he's a real guy. He's averaging 2 points a game.
Yeah. Good defender.
Okay.
I just think there's a definite sense in Madison Square Garden that this win streak and this best team in the NBA, this number one offense, is a little bit fraudulent. I'm not saying the Knicks aren't good. I'm not saying they're a fraudulent team, but I think this win streak is a little – it looks a lot nicer than it is. I'll say that.
They're playing terrible teams.
Exactly. A team that you could qualify as terrible. Should we take the 4 train down to Atlantic Avenue and talk some Brooklyn Nets?
Terrible team.
Terrible.
Shout out Kurt's team. Terrible.
Shout out Kurt. I mean, the Nets are hurt. The Nets are hurt right now. They're without Cam Thomas, Dorian Finney-Smith, even like guys like Noah Clowney. Bojan Bogdanovic is returned to Brooklyn. He's barely played a game. He hasn't played a game. On a one-game win streak, they just beat the Pacers. Just beat the Pacers, but like they're losing blowout games to Chicago, blowout games to Orlando. Orlando, top three team in the East.
Nah, but we saw them versus the Knicks the other day. They are not...
Better record than the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, look who they played also.
Yeah, I mean, look who the Knicks have played.
To start the year?
A lot
of losses.
Magic
have not played anyone.
A lot of losses. All right. I think that the Knicks, we're talking Nets right now. Like, I just don't know what the key for the Nets, what do the Nets want right now? Do the Nets want a tank? Or is it like, let's make a push for the play-in?
I mean, it's such a torn fan base. You got Kurt over there that wants to make a push for the play-in. Then everywhere I look on Twitter, there's all these Nets accounts that want to lose every single game for Operation Capture the Flag, who I know he's 17 years old, but has not looked like the superstar prospect that he was made out to be.
Well, I mean, he looks like a I think he's
a good, not the generational like tank talent that Wemby was.
Saw him versus, yeah, but you see him versus like Team USA Select, and he's getting buckets over.
Yeah, and that was months ago. Now in college, he doesn't look as hyped up as other guys.
I would still
say
he's definitely the best player in college basketball, 100%.
I think Dylan Harper's pretty close. Yes, don't. All right, that's
that
not,
bias is crazy.
There's no bias there. Anyway, going back to the Nets.
It's not
though,
if it's anyone, it's Johnny Broome on Auburn. That's better than Cooper Flagg, averaging 20-13 right now.
No bias there with my pick. Yeah, the Rutgers basketball
Rutgers,
pick.
Yeah,
Rutgers.
Terrible.
No, but I mean, if you look at the,
Shut up for 30 seconds, Owen. I'm gonna ask Naomi what she thinks about what's going on in Brooklyn. Do you think Brooklyn should make a push for the play-in and the playoffs, or go for an ethical tank and go for capture the flag?
I think you should always shoot high, and they should try to go for the playoffs. But we see, like, up north, the Knicks are doing so well, and the Nets are doing so poorly. I think all of New York is focusing on the Knicks right now. I don't think anybody really cares about the Nets.
Always been.
But it's always been that way.
True. Hopefully we'll see a turnaround soon.
I don't know if we ever will.
I mean, in Brooklyn, Nets are, I mean, they're only 3 games under 500. They play.
They're in a play-in right now.
It's very early, but they're showing signs of life, but they're so, so hurt. I mean, their whole offense is Cam Thomas, and when he's out,
he went out. That they've taken it. They were a consistent like 500 team, and then they lose Cam Thomas, and since then it's been steep slope downhill for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, Cam Johnson's has had a really good season. He's another trade target, I think, for them to send out on the deadline. But
and just get some picks.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 18 a game. That's Cam Johnson basketball right there.
I think someone else that has been a definite downturn so far this season, and not a lot of people are talking about it. Nick Claxton, definitely down.
Barely played.
I know, like, that's the problem. It's like he's averaging 9 points, 7.6 rebounds, 2.2 assists, all numbers down from his career averages. But, yeah, he's playing only, like, 25 minutes a game for the Nets. Like, is that really what you need in Brooklyn?
No, you need a lot more from Nick Claxton. I mean, he just signed that massive extension. He was talked about as a top five center in the league, better than Mitchell Robinson. He's looking like the new Mitchell Robinson because he can't stay healthy, always injured. And, I mean, that's their center. You look at their center rotation, it's him and De'Ron Sharp, and then a couple other guys that they rotate in there. I mean, they've got depth, but they don't have, like, a top-tier player. I mean, Cam Thomas was their best player, and now he's out for a long time. I mean, This roster is just kind of incomplete. You look around it.
They don't have anyone.
They have a bunch of individual role players.
Players, exactly. Yeah. It's a poor man's team. It's a poverty team.
But they could have a really good trade deadline.
Agreed.
I mean, all these guys are outperforming their career averages, and a lot of teams are going to be. If you look around the league, almost every single team, I'd say, besides maybe the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder, are reaching for depth right now.
Absolutely.
And they could use a guy like Cam Thomas, a guy like not Cam Thomas, they're not trading. Cam Johnson.
I don't think you
Dennis
trade
Schroeder,
Cam Thomas.
Like all these guys on their roster, you can get picks for, you can get, and teams around the league are gonna be calling the Nets heavy at the deadline.
I think something to be pointed out that's maybe a bright spot is Ben Simmons' playmaking. He's been okay on defense so far this year, but 6.7 assists. It's not too terrible. 5.5 points, 5.8 rebounds. It's kind of a poor man's Draymond Green situation where it's like the triple single king. You know what I mean?
He's making a lot more money, though, than what he's – I mean, that contract's from when he was in Philly. But yeah. I think Ben Simmons, I don't really know what you do with him. He is having – like, he's a good defender still. He's still getting rebounds. He's a good playmaker. But, like, what do you do with him? Like, he doesn't offer anything on the offensive end.
But I think it's like he's a master of none instead of a jack of all trades. Like, he can pass, I mean, besides shooting.
But, like, what's he worth? Like, what's he worth in the Nets right now? Like, what would he even be worth to another team?
With that contract, nothing.
And, like, if you look at when Ben Simmons hits, I believe he's out of free agent at the end of the year. Like, who's signing Ben Simmons? If you look, Markelle Fultz is out of the league. And Markelle Fultz is better than Ben Simmons. Two Sixers bust. But, like, look at the guys that are now out of the league. Lonnie Walker out of the league. Like, Ben Simmons might be, this might be his last year in the league. Potentially.
Potentially, yeah. Speaking of two Sixers busts, do we talk about the end of the process? 5-15, Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I mean, I want to get your take here. It's like, what I've seen from the Sixers so far is definitely not what we expected preseason. But what do you think the main problem is in Philadelphia right now?
I think the main problem is we have a lot of great individual players, but they're not working well as a team. I think we need to get a really good team effort going, and then we'll see good scores from there on out.
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid just unavailable at all times. At all times. And Owen, I know you've had a lot of opinions about Joel Embiid, a pretty competitive playoff series last year. The Celtics have run into the Sixers a lot in the playoffs as well, a little Atlantic Division rivalry with the three of us. But it's like, do you think the process is officially over and it's time for a new face for the city? Is the Joel Embiid era in Philadelphia over if they want to play winning basketball?
I don't know if you could say it's over. I think the idea of the process is over. I mean, Joel Embiid's the only guy there that's from, like, the process. If you look at every other guy, he's almost out of the league now. Julius Okafor, Markelle Fultz, Nerlens Noel, like, all those guys of the original process are no longer there. So I don't think I think the process is dead. But if you look at the roster, I mean, it all came down to Joel Embiid being healthy, and he's played four games this year. They went out and got Paul George, another always injured guy. I think the process was not a good process. Like, from when they've gone since they had Ben Simmons' layup, every decision they've made since then has been the wrong decision. You let Jimmy Butler go, you give Tobias Harris that massive contract. Then just from there on, I mean, you draft Tyrese Maxey, who's going to end up being a top guard in the league, but then going out and giving all this money to Paul George was not the right move
for
them.
Trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Sixers?
No, wrong. That was the Clippers.
That was a big miss on you. Paul George. But still,
right,
like,
that's why I was thinking
the
about
Sixers'
that.
Decisions
yeah.
have led them to being a bad team. If Embiid's not going to stay healthy, which he hasn't in the past, and this guy is kind of mentally broken, it seems like. I guess it's unexpected, but kind of expected at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you have the supposedly a lot of people down there in Philly say the best player in the NBA.
I don't think anymore, though.
Yeah, the city's turned against him. 29th out of 30 in scoring per game. That's just not going to win you basketball games. And they're 5-15 right now.
Their depth also is terrible. I mean, they lost Campaign.
What's their sixth man's Andre Drummond?
Caleb Martin start for them. Kelly Oubre. Like, they got Eric Gordon this offseason, which was like Eric Gordon got washed up about 6 years ago with the 2018 Rockets. Caleb Martin, like, what are we doing here? Kyle Lowry is 40 years old, and your best player right now is Jared McCain, who's looking like a stud.
Yeah, Jared McCain, Tyrese Maxey in a backcourt offensively is very exciting to see. Defensively also, like, blunders on blunders on blunders.
I mean, they have, I think, picks, and they have, like, they have a future, kind of, when you look at salary cap-wise, no, but they have picks, they have McCain, they have Maxey, just the depth isn't there. I mean, do you look at moving Joel Embiid?
Well, I mean, the issue is with that record,
season's over.
And it's capture the flag, do you keep Joel Embiid? And then imagine how scary.
I don't think they own their pick this year. I think the Thunder own it. The Thunder own their pick this year.
Classic Thunder.
Unless it's like top four protected. I know there's a protection on it, so I don't think the Thunder can get flagged from this, but like they would need to be not bottom four, but they need to be in like weird range.
So my thing here is if you trust the process even longer and you die this year, you go out on your shield and you rehab Paul George all year. You make sure he doesn't hyperextend his knees every game. Like, double hyperextension.
Same knee. Twice.
The same knee, back to back. It's just, ugh. You rehab Embiid, and you get flag. Imagine that. McCain, that starting five, looks like Maxey, McCain, flag, George, Embiid.
Cooper,
that's the best
Cooper
team.
Flag at the three.
That's the best team in the NBA.
Depth's still not there, though.
Exactly. Well, the depth has never been there for the Sixers.
I mean, a couple years ago when they still had Jimmy Butler, like, that team was pretty deep. That's when they were making noise in the East, but now I think you could say, like, they're, I mean, but also look at the East. Like, the Bucks went on a 6-game win streak, and now they're back. They went from 13th, and now they're in fifth seed. The East is close this year. Pacers in the 10th seed with 9 wins. Like, Sixers are a 4 or 5-game win streak away from being back in the play-in. And
right.
A team of Embiid, Maxey, and Paul George, if they get in the play-in, I guess you could say they could make noise.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it's like, have those guys usually never last to the playoffs. That's always been the issue.
I think they played, what, 1 game together this year?
The three of them,
the
yeah.
same as the KD, Kyrie.
Right. Well, they played.
Durant.
Those Nets guys played 8 games together?
No, I think it was 13. 16? I think it was 13. I think they went 12-1. Or 14, they went 13-1, something yeah. like that.
It's like, you got to stay on the floor all at the same time, man.
That's the same issue, though, with the Knicks when you look at them. Is OG Anunoby and Kat going to stay healthy the whole year? Which, you know, OG won't, never has. So where's the depth going to come in to kind of back him up? Landry Shamet.
It's Tyler Golic.
For OG? A wing?
I think Tyler can play out there. Is his defense that bad?
Tyler Cole's a good guard defender. He's small.
Is he not like 6'4"?
Tyler Kolick? He's like,
I thought he was a tall guard. 6'3". 6'3", so
he's
yeah.
He's not guarding. OG Anunoby's guarding yeah, 1 through 5.
True. Yeah, I guess he's not an OG. So I just don't. But Landry Shamet's not that tall either.
Landry Shamet is like a wing, though. Let's get the height on Landry Shamet. He is 6'7". Oh, that's his wingspan. 6'4 with a 6'7 wingspan.
Yeah, so that's also not a replacement. It's just like, I just don't understand what the Knicks are going to be able to do if OG goes out defensively.
Nothing. The season's over. If OG were to go down with another long-term injury like last year, I mean, season's not over, but like they would
lose. Do you think he's the linchpin?
Yes, 100%. He's the most important player on this roster. Because like, you lose Brunson for like a month, obviously his production loses.
Cat just gets all the... Cat takes
all
those
can
reps.
Take the offensive load. Deuce and campaign can take the passing. Like, just you could survive that for a little bit. But if you lose OG Anunoby for an extended amount of time, I mean, you're screwed. That guy's your best defender. He's been an offensive throw, your third best scoring option, and he kind of holds that whole team together.
Yeah, I just don't see a way. And Naomi, I want to get your take on this. Is OG Anunoby that much of a difference maker in the NBA?
I think he's had a great year this year, but honestly, no. I would compare him to a lot of the other players.
Wow. She called your guy a role player. I would tend to agree.
He's a high-end role player, $212 million role player. He's going to be an all-star this year.
That's not true.
Averaging, if he stays, yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
No?
The Knicks have 3 all-stars this year?
He's averaging 17-5-2 on 50% shooting.
Dude,
elite
17
defense.
Points.
Elite defense.
The NBA doesn't care about the all-star. There's no way OG Anunoby is a...
All NBA, end of the year.
What are you talking about, bro?
Kurt just agreed with third team.
No way. There's so many stars around the league.
OG can be third team. Julius Randle's a 3-time All-NBA. And OG Anunoby, I think, is getting to be better.
No way OG Anunoby is an All-NBA player.
He'll be All-Defensive First Team.
Yeah.
And I think he could be third team All-NBA.
No way.
If he continues to average almost 20 points a game with elite defense... And you look at their record with it. They're 35-14 with OG Anunoby in the lineup.
It's like, how? But is he going to stay healthy?
Is he going to hit the 65 games limit?
Yeah.
I guess that's why he's never made an all.
No, it's because he's a role player.
No, because he never stays. He's never played 65 games, I don't think.
That's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his career, he's always hurt. Yeah. NBA champion, though.
True.
He's going to get another one this year.
Yeah. I mean, is there much else to talk about around the NBA? I think the Knicks are that main story in the NBA right now. It's just like, the Knicks
figuring
are so
their
good.
Their offense and figuring out. I mean, they're the talk of the NBA right now. They've finally seemed to be rolling. After the rough start, it's, what, 22 games in? Now they're figuring it out.
Golden State taking kind of a crash going the other way.
That was expected, though.
I don't know. I mean, Steph Curry's always frisky.
Why is Steph Curry playing 25 minutes a game, 30 minutes a game?
I think Kerr's a terrible coach.
I mean, I know how you feel about that with Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Jason Tatum, Celtics are the best team in the NBA. But Houston, sneaky under the radar, second best team in the West, 15-8.
They've looked really good this year. I mean, the West is packed. Look at the Lakers at 12-10 at the 9 seed. 12-10 in the East would put you at the 6 seed.
I mean, yeah, but the
Timberwolves still haven't figured it out. Like, there's 11 teams in there. I think the Spurs will be in that are contending.
For the play-in?
For, like, you could say any of those teams could beat another team in the playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, I the Spurs, maybe not, but T-Wolves, the Thunder, those teams are all pretty evenly matched.
I don't know if I trust the Thunder to be real.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
With all that depth that they have, if Chet comes back, Shea.
Oh, my God. I meant the Timberwolves. I meant the Timberwolves.
Oh, I was going to say. I was
the
like,
Timberwolves. No, Dave, the Thunder are real.
Isaiah Joe.
I am literally pure brain fog today.
Lou Dort? Like, what are we talking about?
No. Yeah. The Thunder are real.
I mean, Rudy Gobert stinks.
Minnesota's not good.
And they're not figuring it out.
I mean, that trade looks terrible. Randall looks garbage.
Not good, but it's the same. Randall looks the same as he did in New York. He'll have games where he's really good, and then games where the body language is the worst I've ever seen. I mean,
and Devo taking that dip is really, I mean.
That was the perfect, I mean, I was devastated by that trade. I've said multiple times earlier in the year that I did.
And it looks so good now. It looks so good.
The DiVincenzo fall off needs to be studied.
I mean, crazy. The Knicks. What do you think about that, Naomi? Like, how much Dante DiVincenzo just fallen off?
I just think it's interesting. It's sad to see.
Wow. Kurt just in my ear said, bro has always sucked.
That's just not true, though.
He's one of the
best spark
plugs
in the NBA.
When he was with the Warriors, he had one of the highest three-point percentages in the league.
Even on the he's an NBA champion on the Bucks.
He didn't play. Oh, so you're saying he sucks because he's on the T-Wolves?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Kurt's saying that. I mean, his turnover rate is so high.
Anthony Edwards also, he's been great. Like, he's still Anthony Edwards. He's still an all-star. But am I wrong in saying that, like, I don't love his field goal percent. I mean, 44% field goal percentage is, like, not that great. Like,
Gobert does not work for him.
Like, that pick and roll?
Just, like, he's, like, Anthony Edwards is more like a slasher, mid-range guy. Like, having Kat as the elite three-point shooter, I think, helped open up the paint, but Randall's not as much of a three-point shooter. Randall's also a mid-range rim guy. Like, when you look at Gobert, never leaves the paint.
Yeah,
like,
Edwards is shooting 10 threes a game, and he's making four. Like, he's shooting 40%, but still, 10 threes a game for Anthony Edwards. He's never in his career. He's never shot more than 8.
I think that's because the paint is so crowded with Randall and Gobert. Randall's not sitting on the three-point line as he used to. And like between 2020 and 2022, Randall was like strictly going for threes, and now he kind of transformed to a more physical guy in the paint, but Gobert doesn't leave the paint. Like that, trading for Gobert screwed up their whole timeline.
Yeah.
And finally, they could have kept Cat.
Well, I mean, that Twin Towers was just terrible. And I mean, Naz Reid, minutes per game this year, only looking at 24 minutes per game. Like, I don't know why it's the same as last year. You lose such an offensive weapon in Karl Anthony Towns, and I know
25 you're 25 points a game, and you're not.
And I know you're gaining with Randall, but the fact that you don't have Nas take that jump in minutes to 30 minutes a game, he's doing the same as what he did last year, which is being a super solid bench piece. I mean, yeah, he was sixth man of the year, but I feel like if you get sixth man of the year, then you take a jump. Right?
Should have been.
I think you should, especially when you lose so much offense. Do you agree, Naomi, that like Naz Reid should be, I don't know about starting, but maybe he should start over Gobert.
Start him at the center would be interesting. Interesting.
Randall at the 4?
Randall at 5.
I think so. I think he's doing great this season with 13 points, but I don't know. We'll see what's to come.
I don't know. Not like the Timberwolves fit. I mean, it was a financial trade. I think everyone's figured that out now. Now it wasn't about fit. It was about finances. But
you want to get that contract off your books. But like for who?
I think no. It's just because they were going to be over the second apron.
Yeah.
Similar to what the Celtics going to be probably in like 3-4 years. Yeah. That's why like if you look at the Nuggets, they're about to be in that situation too. Like these with the
they
new
they got to pay everyone.
CJ McCollum, horrible guy for negotiating this new contract. I mean, the second apron. This is the worst contract the NBA's ever negotiated.
Yeah.
That is going to be gone.
The CBA, you think it'll be gone by the next CBA?
The next CBA will be interesting because the owners, I think, like it. Like, a lot of the lower market owners like it because it keeps the league balanced, but I don't think the players like it.
Well, no, it's just, it's not letting guys get paid.
Or it's like only you're only paying your top-tier players
and these
bench players that are making
it's like
so much, and then it's like,
it's a poverty. It's like a caste system. Like you have kings and you have like.
It sets you up for only serfs. Like an 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
Because you can pay eight guys, you can pay your starters a decent amount, and then those bench guys, because they're so high value, because you only pay like eight guys, mm-hmm. make so much, and then your rest of your bench is just like two-way.
Yeah, we're going to see so many more two-way contracts that don't, like, again, a guy like Dottier, I think he should be an NBA player.
Like, he should be. Like, he can get quality minutes, I think, on a team and contribute to, like, maybe not contribute to a winner. Like, playoffs, obviously, he shouldn't play, but he could give you quality. Like, you need to hit on your picks. Like, I think that was probably what the NBA was incentivizing with this, is hitting on your first and second round picks and prioritizing them more than just prioritizing the star trade and the star player. But look around the league. Like, the depth is not good. And, like, I don't like to see with the second apron is how stars that were, like, Cat had been in Minnesota for 10 years.
Right.
And then you have to send them out because,
yeah.
because of financial reasons, because you can't get rid of Gobert. Like, and that Gobert move was a trade they made before this whole second apron thing existed. Like, if they could go back and undo that.
Oh, my God. In a heartbeat.
And yeah. The Jazz made out of that thing as, like, golden.
And I mean, yeah. They have picks and a lot of cap space, but they're also terrible at basketball.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst team in the NBA. Or they're the worst team in the West.
Yeah. No one's beating the Wizards.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's beating the Wizards.
Not winning a game in November.
They have a 16-game losing streak.
How about the Pistons? That's another story.
They've been turning
for the play-in.
Finally took them to get the coach right.
I know, right? Okay. That all being said, I think that is going to do it for us here on Pick and Pod. It was so nice to be joined by Naomi, Owen, Kurt Sipple, great producer there in the back. WFEV Sports Director is Bobby Chaffardini. I'm Chaz McAdams, and we'll see you next week on WFEV Sports Pick and Pod.